Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Homeowners are going to be allowed to charge market rents for modular units. These are the homes in your back garden of up to 45 square metres to the rear of the existing property, and you'll be able to bring them in under the rent a room scheme. The government is to relax the rules and the cabinet is to agree on this today. And we're asking you, is modular homes really the solution to the current rental situation? Perhaps it is. Lisa's with us on the line today. Lisa, you have adult children living at home. Is this reasonable measure?
It isn't the solution, but it is a option. I think it's a good option if you have the space, because they're not going to be able to afford to buy their own homes at the moment. And if you have a garden that there is enough space to put one of these modular units on, I think, why not? It's a good idea. Now, of course, there's going to be abuse of that system, I suppose. But we do have to start thinking outside the box, I think. Like, they're not all going to be able to buy homes. I really like the Austrian system where you can, say if you have a big house, you can divide it into multiple occupancies. I think that's a brilliant idea, that the family units can stay together but in separate apartments. But we have to start thinking outside the box. We can't keep building and buying more and more and more houses.
Yeah, so you are in agreement that there is need to find some form of a different solution in whatever shape that takes. And what we're looking at today is maybe people who have, you know, a kind of a decent or a fairly large back garden, that they would be able to build or erect these modular homes, cabins of about 45 square metres, stick it at the rear of the property, no need for planning permission, and you can charge market rent for that.
I don't think market, it depends on, like, obviously, you specifically asked me about my children, like your own children. I think maybe you need to put some sort of barriers on that, like that it was for local need or for your own particular family. I mean, there could be a little bit of abuse if it went on to the market for rental purposes. But then the other argument is, my son wants to rent, but he doesn't actually want to be tied into a 6-year lease. He only wants to rent for a couple of years. So that solution of a 6-year fixed term lease doesn't suit renters all the time either. So I just think that's a little bit ham-fisted by the government to put a minimum term of a 6-year lease on a rental property.
Yeah, well,
some people just want to rent for a couple of years.
Yeah, that doesn't form part of this particular measure that they're looking at today, from what I can see. But I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of different initiatives, I'm sure, that are on the table. Yeah. Do you think your own adult children would go for this, Lisa?
I do, yeah.
But
the cost too, because those modular homes cost about €45,000. It's not like they're free. Like, they cost a substantial amount of money to put in the first place. But I think they would absolutely go for it if we could do that. They would.
Why not? I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners, I mean, we've talked to people before that perhaps have put up or erected modular homes in their gardens. We'd love to hear from you today. 1800 453 106. That is the number. Rory is with me on the line. Stay with us, Lisa. Rory, you're a renter, is that right?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, I am. Yep. Yeah.
So, what's your situation? Would you be interested in a modular home in a garden?
Not. Not particularly, to be honest with you, because, like, I'm old now, so I've been renting for a long time, and I think this is a young person's game. The issue I have with this is already they're starting to talk about money and rents and stuff that you have to pay and legal charges and all the rest of it. This is the second generation of young Irish people who are looking at the possibility of not knowing what it is to have their own roof over their own head. Now, that is laid squarely at the feet of government. And I thought once these solutions came in, because at least with this generation, they're looking for solutions. What can we do to fix this? Rather than looking in the direction of Leinster House, who have proved beyond a doubt that they can fix nothing. So now the kids have come up with their own solution.
Yeah. Well, it's the government it's the cabinet today that's actually looking at relaxing the rules.
Yeah, I wonder.
Right, okay.
Watch this space, Andrea, and you will see the costs and the charges and all the other stuff will come into play to force people out of this situation. I'll just give you one small example. So a friend of mine who lives in Galway, her daughter is studying in Maynooth College and couldn't find a place to lay her head for love nor money. And eventually somebody said, listen, you can actually park your car in our driveway and at least you'll be able to put the head down. They charged her rent for that, for parking the car in the driveway.
For the car park
so
spot.
So you can get a night's sleep. See, this whole thing, and pardon me if I come across as cynical, but the whole thing for me is money. How are we going to make money out of this?
Yeah, but I suppose in that situation, wouldn't that example of that student and that girl you're talking about be better off in a, you know, being able to rent a modular home, maybe in the back of that person's house that you're talking about? Sure, it's a garden home, it's a chalet, whatever word you want to use to describe it, in, you know, and have the comfort of a roof over their head in a structural unit.
Yes, it would be. But again, it comes back to the fact that you're not going to own your own home. That's a fact. And how much is it going to cost? So this comes right back down to money. Mm. This is what you. I have lived and worked in Ireland all my life, Never moved outside. And every time we have anything that comes down from government, it is with the purpose of getting money. That's it.
People are going to have to pay for it anyway, for sure. Michael Hockton is with us. Michael's a columnist at the Irish Independent and host of the Irish Fire podcast. What's your view today on this rule change, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I would be a landlord myself, and I would have friends and colleagues who are landlords too. And I know people who are planning on building these modular homes in their garden. To answer Rory's question on that, like in terms of rent, most people will be looking to use the rent-a-room scheme. That makes financial sense from a tax point of view, which means your rent's typically going to be under €14,000 a year for that sort of unit, which again, I guess, is comparable, if not cheaper, than student accommodation, and obviously arguably much more nicer. The trouble in the system is if somebody were to not use that scheme and take more money, and I try and argue that the market rent was higher, then they're going to be taxed on that income then. So, like, I think government is aware of the fact that this rent-a-room scheme is here. They're expecting that most people are going to be looking to unveil that. And that should mean that the rent price remains relatively competitive compared. And look, I agree with both Rory and Lisa there that like this isn't for everybody. And the big thing about the rental section is we have to remember that there's different accommodation types for different types of people. It's the same that I always get criticism of the fact that, oh, look, we should, you know, there shouldn't be private landlords. It should only be social housing. And I get that. But then most of my tenants would be people coming into the country who are here for a year or two that would never qualify for social housing. So there's different aspects of the accommodation as a whole that you need to look at. This solves a very small problem, but it still is a solution, which is a good thing here. At least there's something being done. It is not the long-term solution, though, which is we just need to increase supply overall.
Now, some of the political criticism, Michael, of this, right, is that because the government has decided to drop the plans to cap the annual rental income at €14,000, does that not bring about some form of change to the rent-a-room scheme that you've mentioned?
It does to a degree, but as long as that is kept at that rate, there's no incentive for anybody to charge more than that because they're going to be taxed on the income at your marginal rate, which for most people, who are doing this would be at the 52% rate. So again, that means all of that taxes. And what I mean by that is if you were to charge $20,000 a year, you're losing $10,000 of that to the government. So you're incentivized to do this under the rent-a-room scheme, which is tax-free income for that person trying to do this scheme. So that should keep the cost relatively in check.
Yeah. When you say you are a private landlord, I presume that's not of a modular home that you're talking about.
No, God, no. Normal three bedrooms, two bathrooms, semi-Ds is my specialty. And again, that, you know, you're trying to help families in those cases.
And I'm curious, if you had the space, right, because the legislation we're talking about today will remove, Michael, the need for planning permission for garden homes, as they're kind of described, of up to 45 square metres to the rear of the existing home. Which means, I mean, to my mind, that means, I mean, the person who owns the actual primary property needs a fairly decent back garden in the first place to even be able to put up one of these garden homes.
Correct. To answer your question, I wouldn't do it personally. However, I do know, as I said, I do know friends and family. I have one older friend who sees this as a little bit of a retirement income for himself. So there's different levels of how it can be structured and done. It obviously depends on the situation. But again, for me, everything here is really going to come back to is it livable? Is it following the rental standards? Which is, for all the criticism of the RTB, you at least get a minimum rental standard, which for my mind as a landlord is a very, very important for me to follow. You know, I'll give you a simple example. It's like restrictors on windows. The first thing I do when I buy a new house is the restrictors. I get them fitted. I don't want a child being responsible for a child falling out of a window. You know, is there a fire extinguisher in the property? These are the things which, unless you're an experienced landlord, you don't think about, which I do partly wonder if they might go, yeah, they might be forgotten about under this scheme.
One listener has worked out, it means that the maximum you can charge for the unit is €1,160 per month, which this listener says, I think, is actually great value for a one-bedroom unit in today's market. Damien is on the line. Damien, is this something that you might consider yourself?
Yes, Andrea. Again, it's down to the nuts and bolts, the fine detail, the requirements for insurance and so on. That would be something I'd be looking at in first place. Also, plumbing that cabin or chalet into the available sewage system. I'd need to know that that's not going to be an impediment. But the point that First Lady made, I'm fully in agreement with. It's all about young adults and what their future is. So I'd be full throttle for giving those youngsters a chance, give them hope. So I wouldn't be talking it down. I think it's a good initiative, and the government exists for the common good. So tax obviously, anything that liberalises the tax availability on a project like that, I'm all in favour of that.
Yeah, so you think it's not a bad idea in the main then? It's not the solution.
It's great to put our children in front, first place, our youngsters, give them a chance, give them hope.
Yeah. Listener here says, am I the only person that thinks €1,160 is absolutely crazy rent for a bed set? Well, the reality of this is, and I've no doubt texters are going to get in touch with us to tell us, I mean, they're currently probably paying the guts of €2,500, €2,800, nearly €3,000 in some parts of Dublin for a one bed rental as it stands. Now, I know it's not a garden shed. It might be in an apartment or a standalone property or cottage, but like the current market value is already well above that 1,100 that we're talking about. Grace is with me on the line today. It's 1800 453 106. Grace, you're a student, is that right?
I am, yeah. I'm also the Trinity Student Union president.
Yes.
And for me, coming at this from the student perspective, this kind of proposal definitely sounds like a little bandage on a housing crisis, but it definitely raises some serious questions for students and anyone concerned about housing that they should be ignoring. Like, from the student perspective, we would obviously cautiously welcome any measure that will increase the housing supply, especially in the middle of our housing crisis. Like, the lack of affordable, stable accommodation is one of the biggest pressures that students are facing right now. And if modular homes in back gardens can be delivered quickly and safely, that could provide short-term relief. However, exempting these developments from planning permission, I think, risks a little bit of a patchwork system with very limited oversight. Like, students need housing that's not only available, but safe, regulated, and actually affordable. And without any proper safeguarding in place, there's a really big concern that this could lead to, like, a substandard living condition.
Yeah, they could be poor quality. Yeah, but no, look, I mean, I would have understood, Grace, though, that the plan to kind of drop the need for planning permission was more to do with the fact that you could actually just, you know, put a garden shed, whatever you want to call it, garden unit, garden home, garden house, in the back of your house, you know, in the back of your garden, rather than a removal of standards.
I think for me, though, that it also raised the question of who they're actually writing, like, who this policy is for. Because if these modular units are going to be primarily driven by private homeowners, then there's no guarantee that they will be accessible or affordable to students. And then there's an even bigger risk that this will just become another one of those market-driven solutions that doesn't actually address the core issue of affordability. I think as students, we would be looking for, you know, ensuring strong minimum standards and tenant protections, to introduce rent guidelines for these modular homes, or support to keep units.
So you would probably prefer if the landlord in this case was actually paying tax rather than the €14,000 tax free that they could have.
Well, I just think that if from a student perspective, they need to prioritise student access, because there is a clear demand for it, and to treat it as a supplement, not a substitute. Because if it's a long-term investment in purpose-built accommodation, then, do you know what, it would be fine. Because, in short, increasing supply is important, it just, like, I just really don't want it to come at the cost of quality or fairness or accountability.
But you don't think
it could be problematic.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And I've seen some of the opposition parties, you know, make similar points as well today about the cabinet actually discussing this issue. But do you think students would have any objection? Like, if a student can get a modular home, we'll say it, you know, below the current market value, and they're getting their own effectively, I suppose it's apartment or it's something similar. I mean, I've never been in one, but from what I see and what I read about them, they sound similar to the kind of, you know, the permanent mobile homes that you see in sites across the country. Do you think students would have any objection to that?
Of course not. Students are completely desperate at the moment. They will take anything that they can get. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. And that's in itself one of the biggest issues, and that's why it's really frustrating to hear proposals like this coming through, because like I said, it's not an actual solution. It's something that students will do if they have to, and they will take up on it if they have to, because they're in desperate condition. It's just it's a complete bandage, and it's definitely quite problematic, but it could also work out. I would just hope that the government ensures proper guidelines being put in place. I mean, prioritise that.
It's funny, we're talking about this in, you know, kind of in the context of students, but like, this listener has got in touch to tell me that they think it's an amazing idea and it would work really well for people who are perhaps divorced. It's something marvellous which would actually suit people in their 50s. Another listener tells me tenants are not tied into 6-year leases. They can vacate subject to adequate notice. The landlords are required to provide a 6-year lease. Another listener says, aside from putting pressure on water supply and other infrastructure, this plan will mean tradespeople will be directed to building sheds instead of building real sustainable housing and supporting the infrastructure that we require into the future. My understanding, though, is that you can actually buy the modular homes from a company who come and do all of that. I mean, they put up and they erect the unit for you in the back of the house. Another listener's got in touch again, yet talking about €1,160, that they think that's absolutely mad money. Michael, you might be interested in a text from this listener who makes the point, like, what about the other neighbours in the vicinity? Surely the noise coming from these modular homes, not insulated in the same way as a house, you've got blocking lights, car parking restrictions, etc. Would it not cause havoc for neighbours?
It could do. Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely a consideration, particularly if everybody in the street started to do it. So it's definitely a concern. Although I think to counter that, as we talked about at the start, I mean, we need to have the space. We need to have the space to do it. I should just add as well that rent-a-room scheme is including bills. So that, you know, that there's that element to it as well. So you're paying that money, which includes the bills, which is at least something there. So it's a total cost. But yeah, no, look, it's definitely something where we need to watch the space and see how it develops. I could see it getting out of control quick enough if it wasn't monitored and reviewed accordingly. Yeah.
Fairly mixed reaction, I should say, now to this suggestion or this idea from government today. Flats at the bottom of the garden can only be a good thing. Supply, supply, supply is the answer. Listener says, we're non-stop talking about the housing and rental crisis. We need solutions of all kind. And here we are complaining about this option. We're spending years talking about the perfect solution. Meanwhile, nothing's getting done. People need accommodation now. It's not the best solution for everybody, but the more options we can provide immediately, the better. Our parents stayed in box rooms while they were starting off in college and first jobs, and they just managed to get on with it. Another listener asking the question, can modular homes be used as an Airbnb? Well, surely there'd have to be some kind of restriction, I would have thought, in and around that. Listeners wondering about Irish water, connections to sewage pipes. How is all of that going to work if there isn't a requirement for planning permission? And finally, this listener makes the point, it's 2026, we're one of the richest countries in Europe, and yet garden sheds, that's the very best we can manage to come up with. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Lisa, Rory, Michael, Grace, thanks a million for getting in touch with us today. Damien as well on the line. 087-1400-106 is the WhatsApp number.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.